John 15, chapter 16, New King James Version. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you.
That scripture, it's got no hidden meaning. None whatsoever. It means what it says. It says what it means. There's no hidden meaning in John 15, verse 16. Number one, he's talking to disciples. Disciples. It was in Corinth, did I say Corinth? Antioch, that the disciples were first called Christians. So let's not get ourselves twisted with the name Christians. We are disciples. We were called Christians. The disciples of Jesus Christ were first called Christians where? In Antioch. So here he's addressing disciples who today are referred to as Christians. You get that? He's addressing disciples. So if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, this is what he's addressing to you. Says you did not choose me. None of us here can claim that you have chosen God. Otherwise, you are very deceived. You never chose God. God chose you. He is the one who sent his only son to come and look for you, to come and save you, to come and redeem you. You did nothing to get God to send his son from heaven. So he chose you. That's the grace of God. When we talk about grace, that, oh, wretched me. Oh, wretched me. God would choose me. The one who was absolutely, totally unchoosable. God would choose me. What is the purpose? You did not choose me, but I chose you. Now it says, I have a purpose. Remember Jesus Christ, he said it clearly, that he had a purpose why he came here on earth. He came here on earth to save us. And not only us, by the way, Jesus came to save the entire world. I think we forget that part. We always look at us, we call ourselves the remnant. We're not the remnant. Oh, we the remnant are going to inherit heaven. That's not the will of the Father. The will of the Father is to save the entire world. God does not desire that any should perish. Underline that. God does not desire that any should perish, but that each one should come to the saving knowledge, should come to salvation. Those scriptures are telling, church. He came to save the entire world. Now, but I chose you, yes, and I appointed you. Now, we're talking about legal terms here. The moment you say appointment, that's legality right there. Am I talking to somebody here? Chosen is one thing, but appointed, you are appointed for the purpose. Appointed, we are appointed for an assignment. So that means for every believer, as long as you're a disciple, as long as you're a Christian, there is an assignment. Why? Because you've been appointed. Guys, this is deep. Appointed. Every one of us is appointed. Appointed for what? We are all appointed for an assignment. Now, there's something that he says we're going to look at just now. This is one of the reasons that when we pray to God, no matter how well-meaning our prayers are, God cannot answer them. Why? Because we are very disobedient to our assignment. You do not reward someone who's not doing what they have to do. You don't reward someone who does not meet the requirements. You know, there is underachieving, not meeting requirements. There is meeting the requirements. There is overachieving. That means you are doing above the requirements. But you see, you cannot reward someone who's not meeting the requirements. Let's continue. I appointed you that you should go and bear, that's the assignment, and bear fruit. The fruit, there's no hidden meaning, church. That fruit in this verse, remember we're looking at context. Context is key. I know charismatics are very bad with context. Charismatics are very bad with context. They just get the text and run with it without the context. They leave the context behind. The context in this case is souls. There's no hidden meaning. Souls. This is for every believer. Pastor Andy read for you Matthew chapter number 28 from 18 to 20. Remember earlier on? That's for everyone. That's for every believer. That we should go, and I like this. I like something here. Look at the word G-O. What is that word? What is that word? What is that word? What does it mean? You go, you bring in. You go out, you bring in. You go out, you that's the assignment. Go! You go out to where the souls are. You reach out to where the souls are and you bring them in. Come on, I'm telling you, there's no hidden meaning in this verse. Simple and straightforward. Going out, do we do God? Do we bring in? That's the question. We don't stay in church. We don't eat and live here and do everything here and never go. No, going out, we do God. But what do we bring in? Are we obedient to the assignment? The assignment is to go and bear fruit. What is the assignment? What is the assignment? What is the assignment? What is the assignment? Now listen to that end. End is a conjunction word. End, yes? That your fruit should remain. What does that mean? Whatever soul you win in, you must disciple that soul. What does it mean? Go back to what Pastor Andy read earlier on. Matthew chapter number 28. He says, teach. Did you see that? Teach. Win them and teach them. Teaching them all things I've commanded you. You are taught. When you win others, you disciple them. What is to disciple them? Is to teach them the word of Jesus Christ. Teach them everything. Teach them everything. Now, please, don't forget that conjunction there. The Bible says the wise win souls. What does it mean? What does it mean? Souls that remain, fruit that remain, fruit that lasts. Not people who step in and step out because they are untaught. Not people who step in and step out because they are undiscipled. Please. It's one thing to invite somebody and eventually get them to come to the kingdom, but you have to make sure that they stay. That's called wisdom. Now, if you do that, yeah, the wise is talking about. The wise win souls. They disciple, they establish. They establish a person in the kingdom. Are we done? With this verse, are we done? Are we done? There's another extremely critical element. Let's look at it. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. What does it mean? I'm going to simplify it for you. If you are obedient to the assignment, you will ask my Father anything, he will give you. If you are what?
Obedient.
If you are what?
Obedient.
If you are what?
Obedient.
Obedient to what? Then you will ask. Now you see why I was saying, no matter how well-meaning our prayers are, because we are disobedient to the assignment. I want this. I want this. We pray by the waters. We pray by the streams. We pray at the foot of the mountain. We pray at the top of the mountain. We lock ourselves in our closets. We go to the rural places, and still nothing happens. Because nothing can take the place of obedience. None whatsoever. Nothing. Nothing. Notice, we are not filled with the Holy Spirit to feel good, to feel goosebumpy, to feel the electricity. No. No. We are filled with the Holy Spirit for an assignment. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, please listen to me today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is primarily for the winning of souls. Winning of souls. Remember the gifts that Jesus Christ gave the fivefold? He says their duty is for the instruction, for the training, for the equipping. That means every believer must be instructed, must be trained, must be equipped. Every believer. You have been very disobedient. If you are a Christian and you are a church member who is not winning souls, you are very disobedient, my friend. And this is the reason why we have to pray for you all the time. Ooh, and jalo. But we are just praying for disobedience here. Ooh, and jalo. The Bible says you are in church, you are in the body of Jesus Christ to be instructed, to be trained, to be equipped, to fulfill the assignment, that you may go and bear fruit, and that your fruit will last. Then whatever you ask. As God takes care of the needs of a soul winner without a soul winner even praying about their needs. A soul winner is very close to the heart of God. Why? Because it is a soul winner who fulfills the assignment of Jesus Christ. Notice in that Matthew chapter number 28, the mission of Jesus Christ is not accomplished. He says, I will be with you always. So Christ is not done. Jesus accomplished the cross. He accomplished the cross. But as it touches the assignment of winning souls, Jesus is not done. That's why he says, I will be with you always. He is not done. Right? He's not done. That's why he's coming again. Jesus' mission is not accomplished. This is mission accomplished. This is why Jesus, he works in us. And he works through us. Come on, friends. He comes in us when we are born again through the Holy Spirit. Jesus, he comes upon us when we are baptized in the Spirit, when we are receiving power, we are receiving empowerment, we are receiving enablement, we are receiving equipment. Equipment to go and win souls. Not to play among ourselves and look among ourselves, who seek among ourselves so that we can show miracles. No, miracles is unbelievers. Your healing is your bread. It's provided in it's in-house. Miracle is unbelievers. You know, there's no better evangelist than an unbeliever who's been touched by the power of God. I say there's no better an evangelist than somebody who's an unbeliever who's been touched by God's power. That's the best evangelism you can ever get. The best you can ever get. One of the problems that we Christians we have is the issue of complacency. Complacency. Very complacent. But we ought to be obedient and not complacent. But instead of being obedient, we are complacent. Instead of being obedient, we are complacent. This is the last revival in this church. Where are we going to pump you? Because now we are pumped up. Now you are loaded. You are loaded. What to have? Go test it outside. I say, what to have? Go test it outside. And the Lord is with you already. The Lord will work with you. He says, and lo, I will be with you always. Listen, read that scripture again, Matthew 28 from 18. I want to show you something. Why he says, I will be with you always. Listen to what he says. And then he says, again, a promise, I'll be with you always. But how does it come about?
Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus drew near and said to them, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples.
When you get to go, slow down, yes? All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth? Uh-huh. Yes, my daughter?
Baptize them in the name of the...
No. Don't leave me behind. Start again. All authority?
All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
What an awesome thing, yes?
Go therefore and make disciples.
Go therefore. Go. Go. Again that word, go. We saw go where? 15, 16 John. We see go. Matthew 28. Can you see that word? It's not there by mistake. Go therefore.
And make disciples of all the nations.
Who's making disciples of all nations? Who's winning people to unbelievers into the body of Christ? Who is winning people into church? That's why we are afraid to say me. Very few people are saying me. Now you see why I'm talking prophetically, why your prayers are not answered, why you're so frustrated. Because you are disobedient to your assignment. When it comes to performance rating, what do you call that thing? KPI, you are failing by far. Oh, no. You are failing to meet the minimum requirement. You are failing to do what? Just meet the minimum requirement. What we pay you for, what we give you a salary every month for, what we employ you for, just the minimum. Just minimum. Failing to meet 50%. The reason we employed you for, 50%. KPI. Discipling the nations. Go, quickly, wake up there, wake up, it's load shedding at 10. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Uh-huh. Teaching them, you see, that's discipleship. Teaching to be obedient. When you became born again, were you told that in the body of Christ, you will be taught obedience, not doing as you please? That's basic. That's the entry level. Christianity entry level, obedience. Can you see? Obedience. Christianity entry level, obedience. I kid you not. Every believer in Christ who is not obedient, they are frustrated. And God forbid, some of them, they've even gone back to the world. And they notice it's not better there. They keep going and coming. For a person who's not obedient, nothing happens. There are no blessings. Singa dala irrevival for the next 20 years. See revival and esotwa. We can play revival among ourselves, but unless you're obedient, observe. You are taught to observe. The word of God is there to be observed, to be done. You people who do as you please in the kingdom of God, we are very frustrated. That's why even when God makes available the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't receive because you're disobedient. God does not baptize in the Spirit disobedient vessels. teaching them, the people you win, you have to teach them to observe all things that I've commanded. So we don't teach people what we want, what we like. Entry point of Christianity is to be taught to observe, to be taught to obey, right? That entry point of Christianity is the one that takes you from the beginning to the end. You miss that one, you'll be a frustrated believer. You miss that one, you might not even make it to the end. In fact, it's impossible to make it to the end. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded. I love this. All things I have commanded. Where do we find the commandments of Jesus Christ? The commandments of Jesus Christ, we find them in the New Testament. The commandments of Jesus Christ, they are Old Testament commandments and they are New Testament commandments. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. That means we cannot teach people of God the thing that we desire, which is the norm, the habit. In a lot of churches today, people have been taught what is not the commandments of Jesus Christ. Am I talking to you, friends? So that is key, church. That is key. That is key to win others, disciple them. What is to disciple? Teach them all things. The master has commanded, number one. Number two, and also to live before them the life that we are teaching. What is number two? To live before them the life that we are teaching. So Paul says, in Christ I've begotten you. You may have 1,000 teachers, but fathers who have but a few. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Jesus. That means the day I introduce to you a strange Jesus, the day I reject the true Jesus, don't follow me anymore. If I introduce to you the Jesus that you did not know from the beginning, don't follow me. That's what he's trying to say. Amen. Come on, church. So what are we talking about today? Obedience to the assignment. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Wow, that's great. That's great. Wow, really happy, happy. Happy, clappy, everyone. Huh? Good. But... and I appointed, oh, not so happy. Because appointment requires responsibility. When you're appointed, you are responsible, you are answerable, you must answer. Now, here's the thing. What do you answer for yourself? In connection with John 15 there, verse 16, because that's for every believer. That's for everyone. Matthew chapter number 28 is for every believer. It's for everyone. How do we answer for ourselves? When you do your KPIs, there is a set time. Normally, it's every quarter, 4 times in a year. You are called to answer for yourself. Now, this is secular we're talking about. We are called to answer for yourself. How do you answer for yourself? Who calls you to answer, by the way? In the kingdom of God. Who calls you to answer? The fivefold. Those that are teaching you, appointed of the Holy Spirit, to equip you, to train you, to instruct you. You are actually answerable. As a pastor, I have a right, the people are members here, every quarter to call you one by one. I have that right. Just that I've reserved it. I have reserved it. Because not many of you can remain afterwards. I have the right. And remember, when we are being, is it evaluated? When you're being evaluated like that, you know they can kuba you. They can dismiss you. Yes? So no. We are being a liability to the company. We don't need you anymore. That means you are no longer adding value. Here's a question. Are you a liability in the kingdom of Jesus, or are you adding value? How do you know you're a liability in the kingdom of Jesus? It's always me. It's always give me. Your prayers, give me. We are not adding value to the kingdom. You're a liability. Always me. We are a liability. You're not adding value. Of course we have to take care of you, of course, but it can't be all the time. It can't be all the time, church. It just can't be all the time. In closing, let me tell you this. Now, the believers are all in one accord in the upper room at Pentecost. Holy Spirit falls upon them in a very spectacular fashion. And you know the aftermath. And they made for themselves a close community, close to the outside, a close community of believers. Stayed together, had a fellowship with one another, shared everything that they had, so much so that they went and sold a lot of everything, their belongings. They sold them and came and put the money in the communal pot, and they were all eating from the same pot. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. You know, it's easy to grow in such an environment because we are together all the time. You know, fantastic. And God continued to save people, so the company of believer was increasing, if you read the scripture, on a daily basis. That's amazing, right? If you read the scripture, the company of believers was increasing on a daily basis. And the Bible says clearly that God daily added to their number. So the one who wins souls, that through whom we win souls, is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was adding daily those who have been born again, those who were believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what happened? They created a utopia. They created this utopian existence, utopian society, where it's us and there's the world, right? And if you want to join us, then you must believe in whatever, be born again and stuff like that. But here's the thing, that was not the will of God. To create this utopian community, utopian society, God had to do something about it. See, when we keep ourselves enclosed and we feel very comfortable, and the word I used earlier on, and we get very complacent, it's not the will of God. God will be forced to do something. How did he break them up? God had to break them up to spread them out. Had to break them up to spread them out. What did God do? God allowed persecutions. The church began to be persecuted by King Herod. Hallelujah. Maybe it is the same thing with us because we are so comfortable in our enclaves. Right? Now God says, okay, I let me withhold blessings. Let me not answer the prayers so that they can get the point that they are not born again to come and congregate together, gather together within the four walls. They must go out and bring in. When God allowed the persecutions, the church grew even further, not only in Jerusalem. And the word of the Lord says, wherever they went, they were preaching Christ. And souls were being saved. Is this, what am I trying to say? The all importance, the key assignment, our key role as believers here on earth is to win souls, church. We will not do revival again like this before. Next time, we'll only pray for visitors. Only. Next year, God willing, and if Jesus tarries before he comes again, we'll only pray for visitors, not you. No, not you. Or maybe new members, of course, new members. You are speaking in tongues. Why must we bother ourselves about you again? You are shabara, 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 shabara. Mr. Loverman, shabba. You do that when you're praying. You do that when you're praying. So we are okay. We are filled already. You've got the raga in you. You've got the raga in you. Am I talking to somebody here? This is a clarion call. Tell your neighbor, please. That the Holy Spirit is sounding tonight. It's been God's pleasure to do this for the past 3 years, which is ending now in November. And God, after November, and not even after November, but as Pastor Andy has preached tonight, by the Holy Spirit, go and bring in your own sheaves with you. Dula le motufat. Ore. Sheba mo wenas mangmang. Church is 1, 2, 3, and 4. You prepare a person before you bring them. Ankara batla lohany. You prepare a person. You prepare them. Or ask them, do you know what is church? Oh, do you know God? Do you know? You know, you start, you do the work. You do the, not even spade work. You break the ground, you know, before you bring them in. You do that. Why? Because your intention is not for them to visit one time and go away. Most of the people, they don't stay because we did not prepare them. Let's go to church. Let's go to church. Let's go to church. There's revival in our church. Let's go to church. Let's go to church. Let's go to church. Let's go to church. You prepare the person. I tell you, Wagit. I say something, man. Say something. Hi, man. I'm a sonto. I'm a funisabana manga. Badly malzaban. Okay, okay. Wow, you are saying something very important. Tell me more. Where do you get that? What does it mean? I don't understand. You know what I'm saying? And then you start to correct nicely. Say, no, 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 no. Every place, there are always good potatoes and bad potatoes. Clarify it. There are great, healthy tomatoes and there are rotten tomatoes. Tell the persons like that everywhere. Tell them, even in government. Not everyone is corrupt in government, so not everyone is corrupt in church. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Prophetess Regina, let's pray for you, please, before we go home tonight. Thank you, my Father. How is God supposed, princess? Stand up, my beautiful girl. I want to, so people can see you. I'm showing you off. Otherwise, I would let you sit down, no? How is God marvelous, Jubes? God who's righteous. Not righteous, he's a just God. How is he supposed to answer prayer of disobedient vessels? Common sense, right? This one is not even spiritual. You don't need to be deep. There's no depth here. Common sense. Wenzani. 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 Kuna ma programs we sonto. Abantu bayanikela. Kuna program ye sonto. Ego Faith Broadcasting Network. Channel 341 DSTV. We are trying to reach people outside. Nothing. Nothing. But you are the one. God bless me. God, like, for what? What are you doing? Really? For what? Really, honestly, for what? When we win the people, give a chair, please, while I'm talking. God wins people. The people we win, we must bring them to church. You can't win them and go to the park like the guys who wear white things. You must bring them to a safe environment. We pay 85,000 rand every single month for this place. Every single month. Yini sandlo sifakile wena lapho. Mara what? God bless me. God is like, Why you've missed your assignment? There are people in this church, my wife and I, we like to talk about this. Their trajectory is onward, never backward, never stationary. It's always onward and it's always upward in this church. They didn't come here like that. Why? If you can audit, they are involved in almost everything in the ministry. They are involved. Their name appears everywhere. What is that called? Obedience to assignment. Obedience to assignment. Okay, if you don't have something to give, avail yourself. Avail yourself. There are things to be done here. Okay, here's the thing. Why are you not helping the people that clean the church? You don't have money to give, no problem. You don't have anything to give, no problem. But cleaning, you've got your two hands. You're not cleaning here. The people who clean here, you don't clean. When you pray for people, ushers, they're looking for help. You're not ushering. Now you see why, church. What I'm saying is not even spiritual. What I'm saying is common sense. How will God bless you then where God has planted you? Because the word of God says, where God plants you, you have to grow. Why ungakhuli? Ukhula kuphela ngeargument. When it comes to argument, to debating spiritual things and arguing about them, you're number one. No. You are not growing. That's not progress. That's called retrogression. Retro, you are going backwards. Retro. Retro means backwards. That's why you see, but isn't what the retro isn't about kogakdala. We are looking backwards, retro. A lot of believers here retrogressing, not progressing. Just a champion of argument. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Their lights are flickering there. Why don't you say, but why are the lights flickering? After the service, you go to the information desk. I want to know why the lights are flickering. I want to see what I can do. Wow. We are a person with a different spirit. Why did God bless Caleb? He says, this is a man with a different spirit. And God blessed him. Am I talking to somebody? Your hands. Some of you have got a car. You say to the church, I don't have anything to give, but I've got a small baki, I've got a medium baki, I've got a bigger baki, I've got a what. Or you can say, whenever you need a baki, I'll hire a baki for you. I don't have a baki, but I'll hire it for you. Then you are doing something. When you pray, God has to hear you. God must hear you. You say obedience. Everyone has a role to play. That's why the Bible calls us living stones. The question is this: how can you be a living stone when you're not playing any active role in the church? How are you a living stone? How? Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Had a role in the building. What is your role in the building? What's your role? And you are the same person. Listen, the fasting you are doing now, you are honestly abusing your body. You have fasted too much and there's been no answer. You are honestly abusing your body. Now, when you fast, it's unhealthy. You fasted too much, but there's no answer. Listen, the Bible does not say God looks at the fast. The Bible says God looks at the heart. Please rightly divide the word of truth. Rightly divide the word of truth. Christians, the fasting, some of you will even develop ulcers. We are over fasting. You'll really develop ulcers. And you are fasting in disobedience. Now is an abuse of your body. And it's by God's grace that you're not dead. God does not look at the fast. God looks at the heart. Even if you're fasting for 40 days, even on the 39th day, God won't look at how many days you haven't eaten. Never. He look at the heart. Not at how many days we haven't eaten. Listen, if you looked at how many days we haven't eaten, I would be on day number 99 today of fasting. I would be on day number 99. I would be walking on crutches because now I can't stand. Because God is looking at the days. How many days I've fasted. Obedience is key. Teaching them to observe. All things I have commanded you. You people of God, let me give you this one free of charge. Run away from pastors. Run away from churches that they are not teaching you stuff that you can find in the Bible. Balega. Enyawo zombili. Balega. Nyan nyan balega. Because the Bible says, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded. That means everything Jesus has commanded, you find it in the scriptures. Your church that is doing things that cannot be found in the scriptures, run away. Balega. Enyawo zombini kaloku fondini. Balega, balega. Hallelujah. Are we having revival today? Are we having revival today? Are we having revival today? In this church, there are people whose trajectory, since they came here, is onward and upward. Only. They never get stuck. And if you notice, you'll find them in all the projects, in everything of the church, you'll find them there. You'll find them there. And they are not doing anything to be seen by men. That's why in this church we don't announce. In this church we don't announce. It's between you and God. But here's the thing. Whatever you do, the fruit can never lie. The word fruit? Fruit never lies. Chinese never give birth to an African child. Fruit never lies. Chinese never give birth to an African child. Never. Never. The fruit, church. Obedience is key in the kingdom of God. We are living in a time of seeker-friendly churches. Seeker-friendly churches are those churches that I'll not mention by names, you know them. They are very big in number. They are on Christian television everywhere. Those are the ones who won't tell you. They will never confront you. They will never tell you something that you might not like. Why? Because their interest is emptying your pocket. They're interested in your pocket, not in the salvation of your soul. These are the ones that say, you are blessed. God loves you. God is a good God. You must keep hope alive. Don't look down on yourself. The Bible is not about selves, about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It's not about self. It's not a self-help manual. Come on, friends. Amen. Come on, friends. Amen. Revival. We need revival from these kind of churches and their pastors that take scriptures and butcher them to prove their own point that does not even exist in the scriptures. But it's easy. You'll never see the Holy Spirit in those churches. People never check for that. You'll never see the move of the Holy Spirit there. Ever. 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 This church you are filled with, some of you came to this ministry not even knowing the Holy Spirit. Today we are even speaking in tongues. Today you can see things, you can hear things. You were never like that. Ever. Why? Easy. In this ministry, we teach the thing that Jesus has commanded. Easy.